You have no idea. So my sermon title, what a relief. I must have had a premonition that I was going to preach the morning after getting back from Cuba. What a relief. What a relief to be back home, to be back home with you, this people of faith, to be back home at this baptismal font, bathed in such beauty, and gathering here in freedom, in peace, in abundance. May the Lord be with you. Would you please stand and join me in the call to worship? To those who are hungry, Jesus says,
"Come and eat at this table, set for you with bread and wine."
To those who are thirsty, Jesus says,
"Come and drink of life-giving water, which is poured out for you."
To those who are weary, Jesus says,
"Come and rest in my love and be refreshed by my peace."
Come, let us worship God in the beauty of this place. Let us pray. God, you've invited us to this table. We gather around the bread and the wine. We gather with the church that has gone before us and those who will come after us and the church throughout this world today in worshiping you with our words, with our prayers, with our attentive hearts and our open minds. We worship you, God, because you have come to us in Jesus Christ, and you come to us yet in bread and in wine. And together with all your people everywhere, we share these gifts of bread and wine, remembering that they are your gifts, reminders of a body broken out of love for this world. God, come to us this morning. Come to us through bread and wine, through your word, through prayer. Come to us, we pray. And may we receive you and all that you have to offer, your love, your peace, your blessings. So be with us, we pray. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
And a very warm welcome into the house of God. If you are visiting with us today, we bid you an especially warm welcome and invite you to sign the friendship pad. That's the blue book at the end of each pew if you pass it along during worship. please let us know that you've been here and know that you are indeed most welcome. You are, whoever you are, welcome at this table. This is the table set with the gifts of God, and you and all people everywhere are the children of God. So know that at this table you are welcome. In this sanctuary you are welcome. And you're also welcome to join us for further fellowship through in our fellowship hall, Earman Hall, following morning worship this morning. You notice that there are a number of announcements that are in the bulletin in our little boxes, nicely displayed there. Please do look at these announcements at your leisure. Note that there is an annual potluck picnic this coming Tuesday at Bob and Mary Johnson's house. There's an open house next Sunday at Barb Rowe's house, and these flowers are given in honor of Barb and her birthday next week. And these flowers over here, I believe, are given in honor of our missing visitation pastor. What's his name again? I've forgotten. So it's Pastor Steve's birthday today. So these are given in his honor, and that's probably why he's not here today, that he's celebrating his birthday, and rightly so. And this is a morning when we celebrate people's birthdays, and so I would ask any who have a birthday in August to please stand that we might sing our happy birthday wishes to you. Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for those who have stood before you and within this family of faith. We recognize them, each and every one, and give you thanks for the part that they play in this family of faith, for the contributions that they make, for their very presence here. We thank you that you have gifted them with another year of life, and we ask you to bless them in this their birthday month and throughout the coming year. May each and every one know health and strength and abundant blessings. For we ask this in your name. Amen. Before we proceed with our call to confession and our prayers of confession, I'm going to ask Pam Simpson to come forward. And she has an additional announcement to make, which I believe is about the tiny houses. It's all yours. You nervous?
Not a bit.
Not a bit.
I'll try not to talk too quickly because I do tend to do that. Anyway, I'm here this morning to talk about an update on the tiny homes.
Oh, sorry.
Can you hear me in the back? All right. But anyway, I'm here to talk about the Tiny Homes Project to give you a little update on what's going on. The session approved it maybe 3 months ago, but we're participating with four other churches in this project. At first, I thought maybe five churches was a little overkill. If you know me, you know I tend to do overkill very well, but now that we're getting into the project, I'm thinking it's not going to be. The five churches that have agreed to work together are, of course, us, Second Presbyterian, Covenant Presbyterian, the Unitarian Church across the street, and Holy Communion. Heavy on Presbyterians, I know, but we started home. A little history about how this came about. A few of us went to take a tour of the facility. Those were Karen and Mike Roach, Lissy Blanford, and myself. Amidst all of this construction, we were quite impressed, especially with all that they do in addition to the tiny homes. Sometimes, though, things move slowly. That's the case here. But there is hope that things will be finished. I spoke with Mark Pigeon last week, as well as a few other times since this session approved the project. Mark reports that the first five tiny homes should be able to be occupied in a couple of months. We've been hearing that for some time. He still doesn't have a finalized list of items that we're going to want for each of the guests in the tiny homes, but they will all need bedding, sheets, pillowcases, pillows, bedspreads, towels, and washcloths, and some household items. We've already received some of those donations here already. They're always in need of socks and underwear, both for men and women. But what we do need right now are some willing and able workers to come in on Saturdays. Each Saturday there is a work day from 9 a.m. till 1 p.m. They need people who are willing to paint, to sort food. They get lots of food donations, which come in bags, and food types are mixed within those bags. So there's a lot of sorting. There's also a need for some people who are handy with a hammer for construction, not destruction. And there, if we have any skilled tradespersons in the congregation, that would make it a lot easier for them as well. When I spoke with Mark last, he said that yesterday was taken and next Saturday was taken, but if we can get a group together, we can talk about getting a week or two for us to go and work. The reason is that the tiny homes themselves are done, but the main building has to be in operation before they can open them. And things move slowly, and there's waiting, but then I think when we're ready, it's going to be a hurry kind of situation. One of the things that slowed us down was the news that perhaps the veterans home in Burlington was going to close, so they've been working on that as well, and I don't know where that stands either, but Mark does. Once the homes are ready and occupied, they're going to have a need for people to help cook meals, people to help tutor, and maybe even to just sit and chat, maybe play cards with the people, all those kinds of things. We're going to learn new opportunities to help as the project develops. As things move along, we'll give more updates. As I said, it's going to be the wait, then hurry kind of thing. And hopefully that's going to work for everybody. I want to thank everybody for supporting this project, for this session, for approving it. I'm going to be in Ehrman Hall afterwards if you want to talk a little bit about it. I have cards with Mark's number if you want to call him to talk. They welcome tours of the facility and to sign up if you're interested. Thank you.
Good morning. I got to see God's sense of humor this week, and it has something to do with what I'm going to do, believe it or not. Driving in Kenosha, you know how traffic can get, and you're all locked in on who swerved that way and who went that way. And I looked up, and to my right, it said, confession at 4 o'clock. And I thought, somebody's trying to talk to me since I'm going to be doing the prayer of confession. So every once in a while, God just kind of says, hello, I'm here, right? And I know what happens in your life too. And incidentally, usually when we do the call of confession and we have the time to pray afterwards, I never have enough time, but you will today. So get ready in your prayerful minds, okay? Would you please join me now in the prayer of confession? God of all generations, we worship you with our words and our lives, and you have been faithful to us, guiding us through the ages and bringing us to this moment and this table. Feed us now with bread and wine. Make us grateful for the gifts that speak of your love and reminds us of your grace. Forgive us for when we have failed you and help us trust you more fully. Renew our strength and inspire our living that we may love and serve you through every moment of the day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. friends. Hear the good news of the gospel.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, our faith does look up to Jesus Christ, your Son, who came into this world to love us, to forgive us, and to set us an example to follow. God, as we ponder your word for us this morning, and as we listen to a story that we have heard many times before, Jesus feeding the 5,000, we pray, God, that you would open our ears that we may hear it anew, that we may understand its meaning for our lives, right here, right now. Speak to us, we pray, God, inspire us, guide us with your wisdom, and help us to grow in our faith and in our desire to follow in the way of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Boys and girls of all ages, when you go on a vacation or on a trip anywhere and you bring something back, what do you call it? A souvenir. So can you tell me of any of the things that you might have? Girls, have you ever brought something back from a vacation? Calliope or Morgan? No? Grandma's giving you some hints there. So souvenir means to remember, and apparently we have forgotten what we brought back. Can't remember? Well, I brought something back from Cuba. And it's interesting because we bring something back and we call it a souvenir, and that comes from the word to remember. So when we bring something back from a place that we've visited, we bring it back because it helps us remember where we have been. And the thing that I brought back was a gift that was given to every traveler from the church in Matanzas. Can you see what it is? No? Listen, I get in at 2 o'clock this morning. Please don't ask me to walk very far. It's a cup. It's a cup. Not a teacup. No. What kind of cup is that? A tiny cup. Yes, it's a tiny cup. It's an espresso cup. A shot glass. Thank you, John. It's a shot of coffee. A tiny, tiny drop of coffee. And it's interesting because in Cuba, they drink coffee out of these little cups. And I have a phrase for the kind of coffee that you have in there. It's so strong that you could tar the roads with it. And so a little bit goes a very long way. And every one of the travelers, all of us got one of these to remind us of our time in Cuba. It's pretty small, isn't it? You see, normally, this is what my coffee cup looks like. It's just a little bit bigger. Just a little bit. It's quite a difference in size, isn't there, between this and this. And you know, sometimes we have this thought that bigger is better. Bigger is better. And you know, coming back to the United States yesterday afternoon, it's true, everything seems to be that little bit bigger. Even the coffee cups. But I can assure you, much as I like this coffee cup, and I'm not on commission, and much as I like the coffee that comes in this, I kind of like the coffee that comes in this. because it's strong, and often it's sweet. You could say just a little bit like me, strong and sweet. Most people would say I'm neither one of these things, but hey-ho. But, you know, it's a little bit of coffee and it goes a long way. And we so often think that more is better, bigger is better, and yet sometimes really, really good things come in very, very small portions. We gather today around a table, boys and girls of all ages, that is set with things that come in really pretty small portions. It's just a little bit. But this little bit of communion wine goes a very long way. And in this case, bigger isn't better. This little bit of communion wine reminds us of something that's huge. It just takes a little bit. It's kind of like a souvenir, isn't it? Helps us to remember. This little bit helps us to remember of the amazing, wonderful love of God. The love of God that is for everyone, and all we need is just a little bit of wine to remember just how wonderful is God's love for each and every one of us. And that God's love is big enough to reach everyone, no matter who they are, or where they've come from, or what they've done, or what they've failed to do, or where they live. There's enough of God's love to reach everyone. So I want you to remember that this little bit of wine, this tiny little bit of wine, means so much. And a little bit of it goes a long way, because it goes a long way to reminding every one of us who will take that wine this morning and the tiny little bit of bread that God's love is huge, and it's for everyone, everywhere. Thanks be to God. This doesn't look too good on the communion table. You know, as I said at the beginning of the service, when I was putting together the bulletin before going away to Cuba, I was trying to think of a sermon title. And I was thinking about Jesus feeding the 5,000, which is the text this morning. And I was thinking about how all of these people were gathered there. They had sought out Jesus. It seems like they just kind of left everything behind. They hadn't really come very well prepared. And they were following Jesus, and they wanted to be fed. And I thought, what a relief it must have been to them to gather there with Jesus on that mountainside and for Jesus to take just a little bit of something and make it go a very long way. Just like Jesus takes a little bit of bread and a little bit of wine, and we take it and it goes a long way to healing our troubled souls, to offering forgiveness, to assuring us of love, and to giving us a deep sense of peace. And so my thought was, what a relief, what a relief these people must have felt. Little did I know that I would be standing here this morning and saying, what a relief it is to be home. What a relief it is to fly into Fort Lauderdale and to heave a sigh of relief. Have you ever heaved a sigh of relief? You know that feeling? We did it. Let me put this in context. It was truly a wonderful experience, and I think it's testimony to our travelers that pretty much all of them are here this morning. Well done. It was a long journey, but a journey worth making. And as I think of that statement, what a relief. What a relief that we live in a country that has an abundance of food. Our menu in Cuba was rice and beans, but if you didn't want that, you could have beans and rice. There's not a lot of food to go around. What a relief to be able to eat what we want and to have it in abundance. What a relief to look at an infrastructure that is not decaying to the point of looking like you're living in a war zone. And I do not exaggerate. Everything is broken down. What a relief. What a relief, certainly, for me to walk through customs and immigration and to hear someone say, "Welcome home, have a good day." What a relief. What a relief that we all got there and came back safely. But also, what a relief to know that we have brothers and sisters in Christ in a place like Matanzas who are deeply grateful for all that you brought to them. We took an extra 3 bags, absolutely cram-packed full of stuff that you and I completely and utterly take for granted. Crayons, crafting felt, vitamins or vitamins or however you say it here, aspirin, antibiotics, coloring books for your children. What a relief it was for them to receive these gifts. What a relief for them to be in partnership with such a generous congregation as you are. And on their behalf, I say, thank you. You will never know just how much these gifts mean to these brothers and sisters in Christ. On a slightly lighter note, it was a real relief when we got onto the plane yesterday in Havana. Now, to put it in context, we have no news, nothing. No mail, no email, no texts, no phone calls. And let me tell you, what a relief. It's nice to be cut off, but then you suddenly realize that you have to re-engage with the world. What on earth has happened? So we got onto the plane and we're all sitting there, and this flight attendant, who I'm pretty certain must have been new to the job, said with a lisp, "We're flying to Fort Lauderdale, and that's in Florida." And we were like, "Well, that's good to know that Fort Lauderdale is still in Florida." And then he said, "And that's in the United States of America." What a relief. Florida has not broken off from the bottom of the country. But you've got to be careful about what you bring back into the United States. And so as he gave his speech before we landed, he said, "You have to get rid of all your perishable items." And then the poor chap got himself into this situation where he decided he would list off all these items. So that means eggplant and bananas and papaya and mango and fruits. And so the list was going on as the tittering went round the aircraft. And you could almost feel like someone got a hook to pull him off the microphone. "Just cut it now. Don't go through every single item." And, you know, I was thinking about all the different sort of exotic fruits that they were mentioning. And it made me think of a story of a fruit seller in Scotland. And as you know, people in Scotland say it like it is. And this man was standing selling fruits at a little sort of barrel kind of little stall stand in one of our major cities, Glasgow. And people in Glasgow say it like it is. And so this man came along to the fruit stand and said to the fruit seller, "Do you have any kumquats?" And this man said, "This is Glasgow. If we can't spell it, we don't sell it." What a relief to live in a country where we have kumquats and starfruit, and we have food in abundance and freedom and really relative peace. And something that the Cubans hang on to tenaciously but don't have in abundance: hope. My friends, we are partly their hope. In our gospel reading this morning, Jesus gathered with people who were filled with hope and anticipation, people who were looking for something, and Jesus gave them relief from their hungers, spiritual and physical, by feeding 5,000 people. What a relief. Let us read the word of God as it is for us today in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 14, and reading from verse 13 chapter 21. This can be found on page 16 of the Pew Bibles. And this is a story that is told many times in the Gospels, which makes me think that whoever was writing these Gospels was pretty keen that we would understand the message of Jesus providing relief to those who were in need, hungry, spiritually, and physically, and Jesus meeting their needs. Let us hear the word of God. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns, and when he went ashore, Jesus saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came and said to him, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said to them, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. And taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, Jesus looked up to heaven, and he blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides the women and the children. Amen, and thanks be to God. I think perhaps I've told this story before, but forgive me. I did only get in at 2 o'clock this morning. You're lucky you're getting anything that's coherent. At least I hope it is. There's a story told of a young pastor who was very anxious and was about to preach on this passage of feeding the 5,000. He stood up before the congregation and he said, "And Jesus fed 5 people with 5,000 loaves and 2,000 fish. One man in the crowd or in the congregation shouted back and said, "That's easy. Anyone could do that." So the next week, the young pastor thought, "I'm not going to be deterred." And so he stood up and he said, "Jesus fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He turned to the man in the congregation and he said, "I don't suppose you could do that, could you?" The man shouted back, "Sure I could, with all the leftovers from last week." I think it's a great story because it speaks about abundance, about there being enough to go round if it's shared. These people have gone out of their way to find Jesus. Jesus has gone off to a quiet, deserted place. Jesus is looking for some peace and quiet. Jesus is wanting a relief from the demands that are being placed on him day in, day out. But the crowds are desperate. The crowds are hungry, and they go out of their way because they have identified that in Jesus they have relief for their hungers, body, mind, and spirit. And they go after Jesus. They identify that in Jesus they will find what they are looking for. They will find an abundance of love, an abundance of forgiveness, an abundance of grace. They find it all in Jesus. And I wonder if these crowds on that hill that day said, when they received more than they were even expecting, "What a relief. What a relief to come to someone who gives and who gives without limit and without cost and without reserve." So I ask you this morning, what do you need to be relieved of? What do you need to be relieved of? Do you need to be relieved of the constant worry of how you're going to get through each day? Do you need to be relieved of the sense that you have to somehow keep up and keep in with everyone else? Do you have to be relieved of the feeling that there's a constant pressure put upon you to to perform, to be good, to do the right thing, to survive? Do you have to be relieved from the constant barrage of bad news that floats onto our television screens and our newspapers and our iPads and wherever else we look? Do you need to be relieved from the constant bad news that just assaults your senses? Do you need to be relieved from the feeling, perhaps, that your life doesn't matter and that you have no purpose? Whatever you are seeking relief from this morning, know this, that in Jesus there is abundance. Jesus provides. And these little souvenirs of bread and wine remind us of what Jesus provides for us. Jesus provides forgiveness so that we can unburden ourselves of whatever we have done in the past. Jesus provides direction. He gives us a purpose. Jesus provides us with the sense that, yes, you, each and every one of you, and every single person in Cuba and every single person all over this world matters and is beloved of God. But I want you to notice something this morning, is that Jesus doesn't provide on his own. Jesus takes what is given, and he uses that and he multiplies it. And I think quite clearly what that is saying to us today is that Jesus can use each and every one of us. And we may feel that what we have to offer is so small, and yet Jesus took the small pieces of fish and of loaves that were offered to him, and out of that he made an abundance. He used what was given to him to provide relief, to provide food, to speak to people's physical and spiritual hungers. He gave them hope. He took what was given and multiplied it. I believe that we have taken from you what you gave, and the people of Cuba will multiply it. You will bless these people in ways that you don't understand. You have provided simple medicines. I went to visit a lady one afternoon, and her granddaughter is very sick. She needs 4 medicines, but only one is available in Cuba. 3 other simple medicines that are not there. This lady herself was very, very sick and pretty much confined to her house. Her house was probably half the size of the top step of the sanctuary. Yeah, that was her house, her entire house. You walk in off a dirty, horrible street right in to her sitting room, bedroom, and kitchen, all in the one place, very compact. She did have a staircase. It was an open concrete staircase, and as I climbed the staircase to look at the upstairs, which was just an empty room, literally I had to climb up the stairs, and as I was climbing up the stairs, there was a wire that came in, one electrical line came in, and I had to climb over that wire to then continue up the stairs with an open staircase onto a concrete floor. That was her lot in life. She's pretty well off. She has a roof over her head. There are many places where it's just open to the elements. So let me tell you about that lady. She had a cell phone, a very basic cell phone. Within Cuba, you can phone each other in Cubacell, but it's very expensive. How she survives is that someone phones her on her cell phone, and the person's name comes up on the little screen. Her cell phone looks like it's maybe, I don't know, 25 years old. And the person's name comes up on the screen. She doesn't answer the phone because that costs money that she doesn't have. So she doesn't answer the phone. And the other person at the other line doesn't want, or the other end doesn't want her to answer the phone because that would cost them money as well that they don't have. Are you giving that to me? Thank you. Malachi is showing. No, you're not giving it to me, are you? Thank you. A fish. How appropriate. This may well have been one of the 5. One's fine, thank you. I'll get another one later. Thank you, Malachi. So the name comes up, and the lady explained to Beatty, the other pastor who was translating for me, that this makes that lady's day. Why? Because the very fact that someone has called and she can identify who it is tells her that someone is thinking about her. What a simple gift to give to someone else, to let them know you are thinking about them. It's a little thing, but it means a lot. And it transforms that woman's life, that woman who is pretty much housebound. For me, it's a symbol of how just a little bit can go a long way. Jesus took the little bit that was given to him and with it fed those who were hungry, physically and spiritually. My friends, what little bit can we give? What little bit can we give so that others will say of us, what a relief they have given? What a relief to know people out there care. My challenge to you this morning is, what little can you give to transform the lives of others? Jesus wants us to help him, as he did thousands of years ago, to give what we can, that he might transform that little bit and through us bless those who are in need. Thanks be to God. Let us now present to God our offerings. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ, we are indeed sisters and brothers with our friends all over the world. And today we join ourselves to the church in heaven and on earth in giving thanks for these gifts of bread and of wine set before us as reminders of the great love that God has for each and every one of us poured out in his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This table is set. You are the invited guests, and it is Jesus Christ himself who invites you to come and to receive what these gifts mean. They give abundantly of love and of grace, of peace and of forgiveness. So whoever you are, wherever you have come from, whatever you have done or failed to do, please know that at this table you are indeed welcomed by the God of God and King of Kings, the Lord of all creation, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we gather at this table, we remember Jesus Christ, who on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread and wine, and after giving thanks, he broke them and he shared them with his friends. But first of all, he gave thanks. Let us do likewise, and let us pray. Holy and ever-living and loving God, we give you thanks that you have gathered us here at this table set with bread and with wine. We thank you, God, for all the places where we have shared this holy and this sacred meal. But now we thank you for this moment, in this place, with this family of faith. God, we give you thanks for all the paths and all the avenues along which you have brought us to this place. We thank you that you have given us strength to endure the difficult and dark times of life. But we also rejoice that you have been with us in the moments of triumph and celebration, the moments of unbounded joy. Thank you, God. Thank you for all the blessings that we enjoy in this life. The blessing of freedom and the blessing of abundance. The blessing of clean running water. The blessing of medicine when we are sick. Of care when we need compassion. The blessing, God, the blessings that are so many and too many to number. Forgive us for taking our blessings for granted. And help us, God, to find ways to share our blessings. Not to store up what we have for our own benefits, but to share what we have with others, that in so doing, you may take what we have to offer and use it to bless those who are in need throughout our world today. God of mercy and God of peace, look upon us tenderly and with compassion. And look upon this world, too, with tenderness and compassion. Heal what is broken. Restore what is divided. Grant peace where there is war and conflict. Grant unity. We pray, God. We pray above all else that your kingdom will come here on earth and that your will shall truly be done. And we dare to pray that you may take us and use us to do your work and your will, that through us you may bless this community, this city, this country, this world. We ask you to hear these our prayers, and also the prayer that we speak aloud, the prayer that Jesus taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus stood in an upper room, and he took bread, perhaps such as this bread that was broken, to remind us that his body itself was to be broken for our sakes. And he said to the disciples as he gave them the bread that was broken, "Take and eat, for this is as my body that is broken for you." And in the same way, Jesus took the cup and he poured it out and he said, "This cup is a sign of the new covenant sealed in my blood that is shed, that your sins might be forgiven. Drink from it, all of you, and when you do, remember me." These are the gifts of God, and you are the people of God. So come, taste, eat, drink, and see that God is good. Please come forward as you are directed so to do by the ushers. If you wish to remain seated, then also indicate to the ushers that you wish to remain so, and someone, Karen or Nancy, will come and serve you in your pews. There are gluten-free crackers for those who wish them. And so come and receive these gifts. prayer that is in the bulletin. Holy God, you have fed us once more with bread and wine. May this food of heaven revive and restore us. Strengthened by your presence and filled with your peace, send us into the world to love and to serve you, and in all things to bring glory to your name. Amen. Safely we have gathered and fed on this manna, which is the provision of God to get us through each and every day. Strengthened and renewed by this bread and by this wine, go forth into the world to offer God what you have to offer, knowing that God will take what you give and through that do great things. So go now, and may the blessings of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and rest and remain with you, with those whom you love and with all God's people everywhere, today, tomorrow, and forevermore. Amen. May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Would you greet one another in peace?